You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to the third of four podcasts on the management of uterine fibroids hosted by Med Learning Group, titled Development of Novel Therapies for the Treatment of Patients with Uterine Fibroids. What are the data telling us? This series will be designed to meet the educational needs of US-based obstetrician gynecologists and other healthcare professionals involved in the care and treatment of patients with uterine fibroids. I am Surabhi Dangi Garimella, Medical Director with the MedLearning Group, and I'll be your host for today's podcast. Joining me are Dr. Andrea Lucas, founder and CEO of Carolina Women's Research and Wellness Center, and Scarlett Dial, nurse practitioner at the Carolina Women's Research and Wellness Center. During our conversation today, we will review the best practice guidelines from ACOG, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, for making treatment decisions for patients with uterine fibroids. Additionally, we will discuss shared decision-making and how it might influence treatment outcomes. Dr. Lucas and Ms. Dial, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you share with us the best practice guideline recommendations from ACOG for uterine fibroid management?
Certainly. So ACOG came out with a new clinical management guideline addressing symptomatic uterine fibroids. It was published in June of 2021, replacing the guideline, which hadn't been updated since 2008. And I really encourage listeners to read that through. It gives a lot of good information on the epidemiology, the symptoms, the diagnosis. They review the new FIGO fibroid subclassification system, and then they highlight all the different treatments and the pros and cons. And then importantly, they introduce this shared decision making that is in contrast to kind of the traditional model where you have an authoritative doctor and kind of the more receptive or passive patient who's going to comply with what the doctor recommends. So the shared decision making is emphasized, and we'll focus our attention on that today.
How do you integrate shared decision making in daily practice at your clinic? Do you use any decision aids when speaking with your patients?
We incorporate shared decision-making with each and every patient in our practice. Shared decision-making involves identifying patients' short and long-term goals, educating patients on all the available treatment options, reviewing risk and benefits of each, and then enabling patients to make an evidence-based decision that best meets their goals. This model encourages patients to play an active role in medical decisions that affect their health. It also encourages healthcare providers to respect patients' opinions and goals when we're formulating our recommendations. This leads to increased patient satisfaction and overall better health outcomes. We often use visual handouts with written information when reviewing treatment options to help patients better understand their options and review the risk and benefits of each. These written materials can be reviewed before, during, and after clinic visits. It's important for decision aids to be balanced as to not push one treatment option over the other and to stay up to date with current guidelines, new treatment alternatives, and new information regarding treatment efficacy and adverse events.
In your experience, how engaged or involved are patients in being a part of their treatment decisions? And how can practitioners encourage patient engagement in developing the treatment plan?
Patients now have more access to information through the internet, friends and family experience, other healthcare providers, news sources, pamphlets, and other written materials. So patients desire to be adequately informed on available options. They want to play an active role in formulating their treatment plan, but they also want to feel respected by their providers, taking into account their personal preferences and goals. Patients' shared decision-making role increase patient satisfaction and overall health outcomes. Practitioners can encourage patient engagement in their treatment plan by identifying the patient's specific goals and needs, and then utilizing evidence-based decision aids to present all available treatment options to the patients, in addition to respecting their personal values and preferences when helping guide the management options. Shared decision-making helps patients better understand their options. Clinicians should encourage patients to speak up and share their goals, concerns, and questions throughout the process and elicit feedback to help identify areas that are lacking and need improvement.
What do we know about shared decision-making and how it might impact management of uterine fibroids and the outcomes following treatment?
In general, studies show a very positive impact with shared decision-making. In particular, it suggests that patient-provider communications about even non-technical aspects of care can improve a patient's satisfaction and positively impact health outcomes. So when a woman is diagnosed with fibroids, it's important that she knows various surgical as well as medical treatment options. I'd also add that in certain circumstances, a woman may not want to do anything, but just educating her that the fibroids can be impacting her bleeding pattern, or she can have bulk symptoms or reduced quality of life, impact on her libido, et cetera, reassures her in a way that she may not elect to have treatment. But if treatment is going to be given, I think it's important to educate them on all the different treatments, recognizing, as I just said, the impact it can have on the quality of life for a woman. And then with the shared decision making, it's important that the dialogue between the provider and the patient, you kind of reach that goal together. So by educating someone on all of the options, going over, does she want to get pregnant? Does she not? Is it the bleeding that's too much, et cetera? And then coming to a decision together is going to improve the experience, I think, not only for the patient, but also for the provider. And then as Scarlett highlighted, when you're able to give them something or share a decision or training guideline, for instance, we just have a sheet of paper that highlights the management of symptomatic fibroids, and we provide that to the patient so that she can consider the aspects contained in that document when she leaves our office.
Dr. Lucas, this might be a question for you or even Ms. Dialis, and I'm just generally asking your kind of sense for this. Is beyond the OB-GYNs, are there other physicians that could be involved in this shared decision-making process or not really?
Shared decision-making, I think, isn't unique to women with fibroids. I mean, I think that's an approach that you see emphasized now across specialties, across diagnoses, et cetera. You know, certainly someone that might have an obvious, uterine cancer, there's not going to be necessarily as much shared decision-making, but at the same time, you have to reassure that patient that that's the best option for them. They're limited choices. So I think it kind of goes across really most things.
So from the shared decision-making perspective, beyond uterine fibroid management, how do you think patient engagement in their treatment and health are important?
I think it's clear that shared decision-making in healthcare is important really across specialties and across diagnoses. There are going to be some very, simple diagnoses that there's really just one treatment, but more often there are several treatment options that are possible for a certain diagnosis. So with uterine fibroids, we've shared today the importance of involving the patient and her individual goals and her values when you're making that decision. And I do think it's just in most instances applicable to all specialties and diagnoses.
This concludes our fourth and final podcast. I would like to thank Dr. Lucas and Ms. Dial for taking the time to speak with us. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us. Make sure to listen to all four podcasts in this learning series, as well as other types of CME programs offered by the MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education, to provide a CME for physicians. This activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME essentials. A special thank you to Pfizer and Myovant Sciences, who provided an unrestricted grant for this educational activity. Have a wonderful day.